Good evening. I'd like to call tonight's regular business meeting of the Monroe City Council together. Today is Tuesday, June 10th. It's just after 7 p.m. Ms. Moot, would you go ahead and call the roll, please?
Certainly. Council members present and establishing a quorum are Cuddebeck, Rasmussen, Camp, Davis, Gamble, and Gehring.
Thank you. And I think Councilmember Gamble, you're up next on the pledge.
Roger that.
Can you please lead us in the pledge?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. And it has been about 2 weeks since our last council meeting. In the last 2 weeks, we have had a number of things that have happened regionally and here in our community. There has been both time for celebration and also time for sorrow. About 2 weeks ago, former Councilmember Berg passed away in a plane accident. I served with him here on council. He was a very important member of our community, a father and a husband. Our prayers as a community go out to him and to his family. He will be missed. I'd like to go ahead now and move on to the first item here, which is our proclamation for this evening. I'll go ahead and read this into the record. So this is a proclamation for Speed Week. Whereas since 1954, the Evergreen Speedway at the Evergreen State Fairgrounds in Monroe has been woven into the fabric of our community, providing a venue for drivers and enthusiasts to experience motorsport events and auto racing. And whereas the Evergreen Speedway includes grandstands, paved 5/8, 3/8, and 1/5 mile ovals, figure 8 track, motocross, road courses, karting, and 1/8 mile drag strip. And whereas the Evergreen Speedway is Washington's only NASCAR home track and is known as the Super Speedway of the West and has been named one of the top 10 NASCAR home car tracks, in the United States. And whereas in 2014, the Evergreen Speedway will celebrate its 60th anniversary from June 22nd to the 28th during Speed Week, featuring a number of racing and race-related events drawing drivers and spectators from over 20 states, Canada, and Mexico. And whereas events at the Speedway's Speed Week will include the Grassroots and Pro-Am Drift, the Rusty Wallace Racing Experience, the Coors Light Summer Showdown, and the Evergreen Drags Dash for Cash Shootout. And whereas the City of Monroe values the Evergreen Speedway, a unique motorsport and racing venue for people of all ages and providing opportunities in lodging, tourism, recreation, and automotive industries in Monroe. Now, therefore, I, Jeffrey Thomas, proclaim the week of June 22nd as Speed Week and encourage Monroe's residents and businesses to celebrate Monroe's racing history by attending the many events being held at the Evergreen Speedway. And I see that we don't have the representative from the Speedway here tonight. We'll make certain that we get a copy of the proclamation to them. Moving on then to the next item on the agenda, we have a Monroe Chamber update. Una? Our Chamber Director is here to give an update. Una?
Hi there. My first time in, I had been very green and hadn't met many people, and that actually seems like a world ago. I can't believe it was only 2 months. So here we are. I'm still green, but now I know many faces, and I'm thrilled to continue to be here. So I will give you an update. I know that I have limited time, and I tend to be really excited. So if I get overexcited or enthusiastic and you need to cut me off, just, you know, give me the axe or whatever. It's all good. I did bring treats for everyone, stickers. So they'll be, I'll give them to Ms. Smoot. She can hand them out later if she doesn't keep them all herself. So I have been very busy. There is so much to do here, and it's so very exciting. Of course, the Speedway is one of those things. So I see that we have someone representing the police department here, and I wanted to let you know that Sergeant Ryan has worked with the Chamber on a retail theft issue that we have going on, and we have now met once with a number of retail establishments, both in the Kelsey area as well as the downtown core, that are having issues with things walking out their steps and we're hoping to hopefully get a handle on that. We've had one meeting. We have another meeting this coming Thursday at 10 o'clock at Ben Franklin. You're more than welcome to attend. It's very informative. We've had a great turnout, approximately 30 different retailers that are stepping up and know that it's a problem. Fred Meyers, for instance, actually has their regional security team from Olympia that comes to these events. So it's a big deal for these folks, and they're very excited to be proactive in potentially stopping the issue that's happening here in Monroe. And again, I do open it to anyone to come to, and I'll be more than happy to give you that information if you would like it. But this coming Thursday, 10 a.m., Ben Franklin, we'll be talking again at that point in time. In addition, with the city as well as with the community college, which no one's here for that either, we have done a manufacturing pipeline where we brought together all the group that's in the industrial park. We sent out a mass email and had an invite. It was a great turnout, and we're now having a second meeting, and that meeting will be July 10th. We would encourage all of you to attend that meeting as well. This group of individuals is very excited about looking to see what the common denominators are with everyone and how they can work together as a team with the city and with the community college and the chamber to accomplish those tasks in an expedited manner. And they're super excited. It's really kind of encouraging to see all of them joining and having new people calling almost on a weekly basis to say, I want to be part of that group. So that is another thing going on that we would encourage you to go to, and that is on July 10th at, I believe, 1 o'clock at a location above Sockeye's. I don't know the name of that building per se, but it's on Lake Tai, and I'm sure you all know where it is.
Lake Tai building.
There we go. Oh, that is a fitting name. I like that. We also, I've been working really closely with Amy Stain. She gave a presentation here, I believe, about a month ago, and with tourism in not only Snohomish County, but in Monroe. Tammy Dunn was actually our presenter today at the luncheon that we had with the chamber, and letting us all know how important having athletic events going on here in town are, and how that increases tourism and it increases the bottom dollar to all of our businesses, even if it may not seem to be a good fit. So, say an insurance company, what do they have to do with the Lake Tai Tri? Well, because the folks that are in town are spending money, which increases our tax base, and that money just goes out and is expedited, which was a great concept to have our chamber members see as well as the community see. And so we were really excited to have Tammy, and we're really excited to have Amy increasing that information that she's passing along. So I'm very happy to work with her. Let's see, at the Tri-Monroe, speaking of which, is coming up here shortly on June 21st. It is at Lake Tai. That location in the Frylands will be shut down, to warn you ahead of time if you wanted to go down there that day. And it will start approximately 6:30 in the morning and be done around 2:30 in the afternoon. Let's see. Oh, another exciting event on the 12th. That's going to pack your calendars. We have community awards coming up. Last year, we had approximately 12 tables that were filled, and it was very exciting to see the community come forward. Well, I'm happy to say, kind of sad in a way too, that we have pushed those figures and we're now at standing room only. We have 25 tables. People that have never had any interest in coming out have shown interest to give awards. I know the city will be there to just show support. We're very excited for that as well. It will be at the high school. It starts at 7 o'clock at night. If you have not already RSVP'd, it doesn't matter because it's standing room only. So we would love to have you, even if you just stop by and say hey, and see who's getting some awards for the short time. Let's see. Next. One of the first things I did when I got here, I was really excited about the fact that we have a correctional facility here in town and that it's a lovely endeavor that flanks our community, and I wanted to know how we as the chamber could help them and how what they're exactly doing for our community. And I learned a lot of things besides getting an amazing tour from Michelle Wood that I'm going to throw a number out there. It's probably not the exact number, but it's close to it. 75 to 80% of their employees don't live here in town. They live somewhere else, and they commute into town, and they don't even know that town is here. So I'm working with Michelle as well as a few other key members of their staff to inform that their employees that there's stuff here in town and that they don't just need to turn around and go back home, that we have lots of events and great things for them to do and that we would be very happy to have them part of our community. In fact, the correctional facility, if you did not know this, has a sign-making facility, and they're going to be making the new sign for the Mason's Lodge, which we share downtown. So look for that. It's pretty cool, and it should be out here in the next couple of months. If you did not know this, last week we had an OSO fundraiser. It was a movie ticket idea. The Galaxy Theater approached us and said, we want to do something to reach out for this community. So they got two movies, The Sandlot and Field of Dreams. We sold tickets for that event, and we ended up raising a little close to $1,000, which we'll be donating to them this week. Mm-hmm. We have a very large Latino population here in town, which I've been trying to reach out to. And in that process, we have a new Facebook page. I believe some of you are on that Facebook page because I do see you occasionally. But I'm hopefully sometime in the next 60 days going to be doing that entire page also in Spanish. It will be some small step to hopefully reach out to the members of our community that might be a little uneager to do so themselves because of intimidation factor or the fact that they don't speak very good English or whatever it might be. But we have a number of tiendas in the downtown core, and I too try to frequent them frequently and say hello and try to give a comfort level. And I'm working with some other entities in the greater Monroe area, one of which is a radio station, that will maybe start working with me as well to kind of get the word out that we know that they're a viable member of our community and we'd like to have them be more participant in stuff that's going on. Okay, have I spent up my time yet? Better not, because I still have a lot of stuff left. Okay, so another thing that I noticed in town that I think is just an amazing historic piece is our smokestack. So I've started some conversations with the city as well as the owner, Fred Woolstone, and apparently there has been discussion in the past about doing something with that entity, and I'm not sure what has happened in those situations. I'm new, and I'm all about going forward, not what happened behind us. And so we have a meeting next week with him to discuss getting that painted. I've reached out with the mayor's suggestion to the Historical Society to ask them to help us with that because we would like to keep the historicness of it. We're not looking to take it away from Mr. Wolfstone. We just want to make it prettier. And it would be something that the community would be invited to participate in. And I'm hoping that it would be just a really nice feel-good event for everybody here, a win-win across the board. For anybody that has any time left on their calendar, because I know you all have jobs and you do this, we have something called a Mega Mixer coming up on the 24th. It will be at Clearview Liquor and Wine. I don't know their full name. But they're down in Lake Tai also, and they're hosting the event. It's technically for chamber members. There are only 50 people that can go. I have 10 spots open, and I would like to open that up to any of you to come as my guest. It is a free event. It is a beer and wine tasting. There'll be some food on site, and it will be Snohomish Snohomish Chamber as well as Sky Valley Chamber. And it's a way for all of us to get together and share ideas and maybe meet some folks that we wouldn't normally have a chance to. So that's the 24th at Clearview. And if you're going to RSVP, you need to do so to me, or we won't let you in.
What time?
So there.
What time?
There you go. Clearview One is weird. Yeah.
What time?
7 p.m. I'm sorry, 5:30 to 7 p.m. And we are looking for door prizes, so if you have any, it's all good. Once again, we're coming into parade season. I've not been here for a parade in Monroe since I was probably 3, so I can tell you that I honestly don't remember it other than it was a blur of fun activities. I've done myself, though. I've event planned a number of parades throughout the country, not any in Washington, but our parade is coming up, and it's a really big deal, and I am hoping to make it an even bigger deal. I know that people come out and line up the route around 9 o'clock in the morning, and I'm looking to encourage them to stay instead of just setting up their blanket and leave. I'm going to have activities for them to do for pre-parade activities. I'm going to have stuff on site, silk walkers, face painters, so on and so forth, to engage the community and the children that will be on hand. Then when the parade comes, it will do its thing, which is fabulous, and then there will be post-activities as well. One of those post-activities that I'm looking to move forward with would be to shut down Kirby. Kirby is that little driveway-looking road. It looks like a driveway. It is adjacent to Wagner and also Dr. Kim's office. That will be shut down, and the idea is to have a very small beer garden there, as well as a root beer garden and live music. And that will go from after the parade, say 2 o'clock in the afternoon, until approximately 5. In addition, there will be other items that will be out to keep kids happy. Again, face painters, some balloon folks. I'm looking at possibly getting a climbing wall, but things that will engage the community. I know in the past it's a mass exodus at 2 o'clock, and everybody goes either to the fair or they go home and have a barbecue or whatever the case might be, and that's outstanding, but people don't go anywhere fast. And I know that the 50 or 100 people that I keep behind is not going to make a huge dent in that, but I'm hoping that we'll start maybe retraining the community so that in future years we can have more of a street fair type of thing after the parade that will engage our community and keep them downtown for a little bit longer before they head out to the fair or before they head out to their barbecue or whatever they're going to. So we'll see how this year goes off, but so far the feedback that I've gotten has been very positive. I know the police department is very excited to be part of that entourage of folks that will be staying later, and I don't think it's going to cause a lot of hassle in that we're shutting down the highway, we're reopening up the road anyways, and no one's really moving because it's gridlock. Next. Yeah, and I should have had my glasses like you mentioned. I do have it open for, I'm calling it Chamber Chat, every Wednesday from 11 to 1. I also encourage all of you to enjoy my Chamber Chat hours. I've had it open now for business since the first part of May, and I've not had one person take me up on it. So I'm very lonely between 11 and 1 on Wednesdays. So again, it would be very nice if somebody came by. And I'm looking for that just to be a community involvement. So anyone who has a question about the community, they don't need to be a member at all, or a conundrum about why things haven't happened the way they thought they were going to, or a suggestion. It's really just an open communication to hear what the community has on their mind and to possibly get them an answer. And I know I won't have all the answers, but it'll also help me as the chamber and a face forward find out what's going on behind the scenes so that I can get answers and find out what has happened in the past or how we can make it better in the future. That's my intention anyways. But of course, if nobody ever comes, it's a different story. That might change. Let's see, what else in here? On that respect, there are a lot of empty buildings downtown. Yet another thing that I've done is Paul, who's lovely, has gotten me a wonderful map of the downtown core, and I'm going through that systematically, and I'm finding every single building, and I'm tracking down the actual building owner, and I'm contacting them, and I'm reaching out to find out what their story is. Do they live here in town? Do they live in Washington? Are they anywhere around? Do they know their buildings are empty? Do they have a real estate agent that they communicate with? What do they want? What do they see? Do they even care? Once I have that information, it will be a better way to assess the situation and to maybe get those locations filled. I certainly am also going through and looking through the empty windows and seeing, hey, what's going on in there? And as I meet people in the community, I'm reaching out to them and I'm saying, hey, did you know there's an empty spot at this location? It's already been completely rehabbed and it just needs someone like you to go in it. I already know what the rent is. I already know what the square footage is. So I can kind of try to sell those things that may or may not be happening already. And with that, I haven't gotten necessarily a lot of feedback. These folks are kind of hard to track down. Many of them are not local. And I only have an address, so I don't have a phone number. I don't have an email address. So certainly that's something that I'm going out into the community, those folks that are tenants of these buildings, and asking them if they have direct access so that I have a better way to get to that person without spinning my wheels, because I don't have a lot of wheels to spin. We do have a number of events coming into town, one of which is the Tri-Monroe, which I just spoke about. We also have an event that in the past has always been at Lake Ty. It happens in October. The YMCA does it. I believe it's called the Monster Run. It's always been a 5K, and this year we're going to shake it up a bit, and we're going to turn it into a 10K run, and we're going to have it come through downtown. It's another great way to emphasize what we have going on and to bring people into that portion of the community. I'm going to be reaching out to the business owners we do have and encourage them to be open between 9 and 11 that day, which is at the end of October, and have them interact with the people that are down there. We're anticipating anywhere from 700 to 1,000 folks to attend this, and it will be a great thing to have at the end of October, as it will be a side season type gig and our summer activities will already be over. So I'm working with Tanya at the Y with that. And I'm almost done, you guys. Conference plan. I also want to give another shout-out to Paul. I was part of the Comprehensive Plan storefront, and it was delightful. If you did not have a chance to work it or go buy it, it was extremely insightful as to the members of our community that are coming forward and giving input, as well as just all of the collaborative efforts that all of you have done to bring this together. It's really quite magnificent, and I'm very proud to have been a part of that, and I do thank you, and I hope that as it's coming to a closing that it will create this magnificent amount of information for us to move forward with. And I know that Paul has really worked very hard on it, and I appreciated that. Cascade Loop, I sit on their board. They're going to be rebranding in the 2015 season. It's very exciting. The first time the Cascade Loop has been branded since its inception. It is the very first and only one of its kind highways in the country that is completely powered by electrical vehicles. You have electric stops on the entire circle. It's the only one of its kind. It's very cool for not only Monroe, but for the entire area. And so sitting on that board, I'll have a meeting in 2 weeks, and we'll start deciding how we're going to move forward with the rebranding concept. But we're already reaching out to different entities with the marketing of that concept and a website and so on and so forth that would be associated with it. And more to not necessarily our Latino community, but getting people excited about being in Monroe and all these wonderful things that we have going on. We'll have a Mexican rodeo on the July 7th as well as August 17th. It will be at the Speedway. It is going to be a huge event. I know that the event planner is paying anywhere from $200,000 on up just for the entertainment for this event in July, and it will be the same thing for the event in August. It brings in a lot of people, not only from Washington, but from the entire West Coast and beyond. There are people that are coming up from Mexico. We have all of the hotels sold out. It's already on the radar, maybe not here, but elsewhere, and it's going to be a big deal. So if you're driving anywhere on Highway 2 on July 7th or August 17th, you might want to avoid it that day. And in that, the hotels, I have reached out to all of them. The guest inn, they are actually housing many of the folks that will be here for that first event. And they have stepped forward with a lot of interest in becoming more active. The young man, Bill, who runs that location, is now going to be part of the LTAC board with Snohomish County. And he's very excited to represent Monroe in that capacity. I've also reached out to the Best Western. For those of you who don't normally go into a hotel, because you have no reason to, because you live here, they're going through a complete upgrade. It will be completed in spring of 2015. It is mandatory by Best Western. They're very excited, and we're actually going to have our business after hours at the Best Western in March, which will be the completion of their entryway, their hallway, when they first come in. So that's the first phase that will be done. But it's great that they're kind of stepping up and cleaning up their act and trying to excel in our hotel community, which is so small. And on that note, the Fairgrounds Inn reached out to us finally today and are now a member of the chamber. So I'm hoping to be able to engage them more to our needs in the community. But because we do only have X amount of rooms, and from what I gather, annually we're at about a 70% occupancy rate, which is unheard of. That's huge. It would be great to have other hotels here, and I am certainly searching for them. That would be wonderful. But there's a brand new hotel that will be opening in Everett. The anticipated opening day will be sometime late July, early August. It is a Hampton Inn. It will be overlooking the Sound, and they've already reached out to the chamber to be members because they know how many people get pushed out of town because we don't have enough beds for them to stay on. And they're very interested in what we have going on in our community and very interested in having a shuttle, as well as I've reached out to Stevens Pass. They're really interested in getting some communication going for a kind of a collaborative tickets, bus, ski package that we're going to start moving forward as the winter comes together. And then lastly, if you have not been to our website, it is fabulous, but it's even going to become more fabulous, and that will happen early next week. So I've been told that on Friday I will get the preliminary what it's going to look like, and if there's any issues, I can change them, and then we'll be going live as of, say, Wednesday next week. So if you haven't been there, do take a look. It is lovely, and we're very excited about it. So I think I've used up my 15 minutes, and you're more than welcome to ask me any questions.
Thank you very much, Una. Councilmember Cuddeback.
Thank you. Una, I just had a question about the empty storefronts. I read this article, I can't remember where, but they talked about places where there's empty storefronts using them for art. So they're not empty, and finding, you know, nonprofits are places just to display art, like from local artists.
Absolutely.
Is there anything in the works for that?
That's part of my discussion with the owners of the buildings. Unfortunately, the tenants are very enthusiastic about being where they're at, but they don't have all the information for me. So as I reach out to building owners, that is one of the concepts I'm going to be opening to them, is if it's empty anyways, and if you want people to rent it out, let's clean up the windows. I'm very happy that the hitching post finally cleaned off all that stuff. It looks so much nicer now. And make them look, you know, warm and inviting, and that will help them sell the location as well as be a nice little draw for downtown. Absolutely.
Okay. Thanks.
Thank you. Any other council? Any other comments, council? Okay. Thank you very much
Thank you for coming this evening. Thank you.
The next item that we have on the agenda is a public hearing. This is AB 14.
Mayor.
Yes.
Excuse me. I was wondering if we could switch the public hearing with the comments from citizens. I know we have some citizens with comments.
Does anybody else from council have any issue with switching comments?
I support that, sure.
Okay. Thank you.
We're going to go ahead and change the agenda. We will go to comments from citizens, and then we'll go to public hearing. So under comments from citizens.
Yes.
Thank you. This is a time set aside for members of the audience to speak to the City Council on any issue related to the City of Monroe, except any quasi-judicial matter subject to a public hearing. We do have a sign-up sheet, and we have Karen Visotka. Please state your name and address for the record. Thank you.
Karen Visotka. My address is 21112 167th Avenue, Southeast Monroe, Washington, 98272.
Thank you.
I wanted to give one last quick little update on Monroe High School's Free the Children fundraising campaign. As of last Tuesday, we still had a little over $1,700 that we needed to fundraise, and one student heard about that, and his family donated the rest. So we raised our $10,000. We actually have $10,019. So they have been matched up with a school in Kenya, and so that's in the process, and that was all I had.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Councilmember Camp.
Thank you. You graduated correct?
Correct.
Congratulations. I just want to make sure. And thanks again for your work this year. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you, Karen.
Thank you.
The next item that we have on our agenda, are there any other comments from citizens? Any other comments? Okay. We're going to move on then to public hearing. This is AB 14077, public hearing 2015 to 2020, Transportation Improvement Program. And Mr. Feilberg.
Thank you. Once again, as we are required to annually do a six-year transportation improvement program, this time it's going to be for the years 2015 to 2020. It's pretty much the same as it was last year, with the addition of the preservation projects that are in conjunction with the direction that we've received from the Transportation Benefit District that we're just hoping to have funded following the election on August 5th. And the other addition is item number six, which is the 179th pedestrian improvements, of which we received a community development block grant to do that work on the west side of 179th, the first block. Take everything after 2015 with a large grain of salt, because this is supposed to be consistent with the comprehensive plan, and we are undergoing the comprehensive plan update, so everything may change when we get around to next June, depending on how things work out during the comprehensive plan process. And this is a required public hearing, and if you have any changes after taking public testimony, we'll be making those, and we'll bring this back to you on the 24th for adoption. If you have any questions, I'd be happy to answer them.
Okay. We'll go ahead and move on to, seeing no questions, we'll go ahead and move on to the citizen testimony portion of the public hearing. Are there any members of the public that would like to come forward to give testimony? Any members of the public? Okay. Seeing none, council, I have Councilmember Hanford.
Move to close the citizen testimony portion of the public hearing.
Second.
Okay. I have a first from Councilmember Hanford and a second from Councilmember Davis. Oh, Camp. Before we vote, I'd like the record to show that Councilmember Hanford, who I did not announce came in at 7:07, which is why he was able to make the first motion on the motion. Any comment on the motion? Okay, seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
All opposed? Motion passes 7-0. Okay, Council, back to you. I'm sorry, Councilmember Camp.
Thank you. I move that we close the public hearing.
Okay, I have a first
second.
And a second from Councilmember
Hanford.
Hanford, thank you. any discussion?
That's 2 weeks.
3 weeks off, yeah.
Any discussion on the motion? Okay, seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion passes 7-0. Thank you.
H-A-N-F-O-R-D.
I heard you say second also. But you then started pointing.
Councilmember Hanford said it.
Yeah. You said it too. It's just quiet. All right. We're going to now move on to consent. We have one item, as noted in your agenda, that's been removed from consent. That item is number 2, approval of AP checks and ACH payments. That's been moved to June 17th. I have Councilmember Gehring.
Thank you. I move to approve consent. Is anybody pulling anything? Are there lights?
No.
Were you,
well, Councilmember Hanford.
Are you pulling anything? No. Okay, so I would move to approve consent agenda item 1, 3, 4, and 5.
Second.
I have a first from Councilmember Gehring, a second from Councilmember Hanford. Any discussion on the motion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion passes 7-0. We're now going to move on to new business. This is AB 14080, the 2015. We're going to switch number 1 and number 2. We're going to go to AB 14081, authorize the mayor to sign consultant agreement with Pertit Incorporated for on-call plan review and consultant services. And I believe that Mr. Popelka has this one.
Thank you, Mayor. This is simply a contract for an on-call consultant to provide services if needed to review subdivisions, site plans, other projects. If staff becomes overloaded, we do have this as a safety valve to farm out plan review for projects that can get done in a more efficient manner. It's nice to have this as a backup for our regular processes. Pertit out of Bellevue is the lead consultant. They also have a few sub-consultants, but like I say, they are on call for 1 year on an as-needed basis. Be happy to take any questions.
Councilmember Gehring.
Thank you, Mayor. Thanks, Paul. Just quick questions. I see it's for a year, right? Is that pretty normal? I can't remember with City of Kirkland. I thought it was probably for years. I can't remember if that was just a kind of an open-ended thing. Was there thought in it being a year versus shorter than a year? Or?
It's apparently what standard practice now is that it is you can execute a contract for 1 year. Okay. We used to do extensions, but though we've come to find out that that is not acceptable procedure.
And so then if things were going well, we wanted to do it again, assuming this went through tonight, then we would just come back in a year and to re-up. Got it. How many different firms were considered by the panel?
I'm not sure. There were 4 or 5, I believe, that were considered. I don't remember the exact number.
And I know I've certainly heard of Pertit. I've known people who've worked there, so I certainly am familiar with it. The fees were pretty standard then, or the fees that we have listed here were comparable with others, or ultimately, I guess, the decision-making process in choosing this over another one was, I'm assuming, price and...
Right. I'd say the fees were generally comparable.
Okay.
Pertit rose to the top because they seem to have the best full set of qualifications and responded really more completely to the request for proposal than did some other firms. That's what brought them to the top. But fee-wise, they're very similar.
I didn't know if these were out. I mean, I figure that's probably the going rate, but I didn't know if that was taken into consideration.
It varies somewhat, but pretty much the same from firm to firm.
And who was on the panel, just for my own... knowledge and decision?
Myself and Melissa Sartorius, Jean, more than that? No. And Jamie Guyon was worked with us through this whole process.
Appreciate it. Thank you. Okay. Any other questions? Okay. Did you have anything you wanted to add?
Brad, you might correct me if I'm wrong. It's my understanding that we can't look at the fee that the consultant is going to charge until after we review their qualifications and choose a consultant. Then we negotiate the fee, and that's by state law, is my understanding.
Okay. Any other questions? Okay. Council? Councilmember Hanford?
Move to authorize the mayor to sign a consultant agreement with Pertit Incorporated and expressly authorize further minor revisions by the mayor to the extent deemed necessary or appropriate.
Second.
We have a first from Councilmember Hanford, a second from Councilmember Cuddeback. Any discussion on the motion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
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 All opposed? Motion passes 7-0. Okay, we're going to go ahead and move on to the next item on the agenda. And I was looking at the printed copy. The electronic copy is correct. So this is AB 14081, 2015 Budget Workshop. This is a discussion. And so one of the things that we're going to begin doing in July is we're going to begin working on the 2015 budget. We will have multiple checkpoints with council. I thought this would be a good opportunity, since we haven't had a retreat or anything this year, to sort of talk about council priorities and vision and whatnot, to have a check-in to understand what sorts of issues at this very preliminary stage you might have that you'd like to see funded or not funded for the upcoming year. And I've asked that Ms. Nelson, Diane, come forward and just give a overview on the budget calendar, just for the record and for our new member, before we venture in on this topic. So, Diane?
Yeah, sure. Basically, the timeline is staff will begin working on the line item budget requests during July and August. And they're due into finance by the end of August. Then in the month of September, the mayor, department heads go through and fine-tune the budget, which is a nice way of saying we usually end up cutting. That's when we start cutting. Because what staff is advised is to put forth their request for what they think they need to run their department in or their division in a responsible manner. And then we go to the department heads, go through it with the mayor, and fine-tune it, balance it, and then council sees the preliminary budget the 1st of October, and then during the months of October and November, we'll have budget presentations and hopefully approve it in December.
Okay, so we're going to go ahead and open up the discussion. I've got Councilmember Gehring. Councilmember Gehring.
Thank you, Mayor. And we had our budget committee earlier tonight, and I'll let Councilmember Camp talk a little bit about that. A little bit, but I'm just going to reiterate the things that I already said, which you knew I was going to say. The same things before. You've worked really hard. We've worked really hard over the last few years to right the ship, and we've been right there. We've been getting out of debt and all those things. So from what we've been doing, I don't want to shift at all from what we've been doing until we have actual sales tax data. Actual revenues coming in from Walmart, once we actually see real numbers. And again, the broken record, I told you I was going to say it again. So once we have that, then we're really going to know. I think we're really going to be set up well for the 2016 budget, having real accurate forecasts, because we're going to know what's coming in. We're going to have been through two retail seasons, if their opening date is right. We're sales tax city, and it's such a huge deal. With that opening on time and just the direct effect that will have on the accuracy, I guess, of the 2015 budget, because it is such an unknown. So overall, we have to stay conservative with the way that we've done it. It's revenue neutral kind of thing. If we don't have the money, we simply don't. We don't spend the money. I don't want to dip into contingency. Obviously, the same types of things. There's no permanent positions funded out of
you know, permanent positions come out of permanent funds, not, and the one-time things can come out of one-time things. So just being consistent with what we've done, which has helped us get out of the hole to begin with over the last, you know, over the last 4 years. And I don't, man, I want to absolutely stay on that same track because it's working. You know, we're getting debt paid off, and we're in such a better financial place because of that. So staying disciplined in those areas is particularly important to me. I wouldn't want to see, I'm just throwing out my ideas, I wouldn't want to see the 1% increase. Wouldn't be comfortable with that for the property taxes. We've said no to that in the past. Don't believe we're quite at a spot yet where residents, if we were to put that to a vote, I don't think they'd say yes to that. With regard to any kind of new hires, we have a fully staffed police department, which is fantastic. We have the sales tax increase that voters said yes to, which are helping fund those things, which is, and that's great. I'd be hesitant to fund any kind of positions we'd be considering for new hires until we have real Walmart data. We've talked about a community development director. We've talked about, you know, other planners. We've talked about, you know, parks, other positions that we haven't done. I would have a hard time budgeting for something like that. Almost a hiring freeze until we have real data. I'm nervous about, you know, the opening date. Now, I already said all this, but you know, if there's delays every day that if it doesn't open when they say they're going to open, if there's any risk of missing retail season because of whatever, not our fault, you know, but their fault, that has a direct impact on our 2015 budget, our ability to have it accurate. And I know you do a great job, that is a concern to me. And so staying as conservative as possible. There's lots of things we want to do, lots of things that would be great, and I think we just have to be really careful about things that might sound good and feel good, and in 2016 we probably will be able to do it because we're going to have real data with real numbers and we're going to know. I'd be hesitant to do a bunch of new things in 2015 or fund positions, you know, over $100,000 position just when we don't know. I wouldn't expect that we would rehire economic development manager. I know we have that position, but you know, I would expect to see that as a budgeted for zero, you know, for next year if we're not going to hire for that. I wouldn't expect to see, in my opinion, any of the positions that we don't have now. I'd be hesitant to say yes to myself. Once we get the data, once we have real sales tax money coming in, we'll be in a much better position to confidently say, yeah, let's go hire for that, or let's do a budget amendment. We've got it. Let's go hire that position. But I want to have some in hand first before we do that. So anyway, those are it's a kind of a stay of the course, but I'd be nervous to increase hiring, increase spends until we have some of that real data. So anyway, appreciate it. Thank you. Those are my initial thoughts.
Okay. Council members, any other comments? Councilmember Cutterback.
Thank you. Just a couple thoughts. Having kind of a plan B in place, if we'll know in August whether that passes, whether for the transportation maintenance and preventative. So I think we need to look at that and in our budget process look at possibly allotting some of our money, a consistent revenue stream to fund that, to fund the maintenance, preventative maintenance. So that's something I talked about last year. So we just need to be prepared that might be something that has to, you know, be allocated out of sales tax revenue or whatever. So that might be choices we have to make. The other thing is looking at, and I forget what fund, Diane, that we kind of have for capital projects like City Hall, and is that just the contingency fund?
No, we have a general CIP fund. It has $500,000 in it right now, and we can use REIT funds for that. Right now we're splitting REIT funds between parks, CIP, and streets.
Yeah. So that would be something, depending on what the budget looks like, we might want to set a plan up in place to look at if there is money and the budget does look healthy, that we're putting a little bit each year away into that if possible. So those, and then my third thing would be looking at kind of the downtown area, and we have a great downtown master plan, and just making sure as we're doing budgeting that we look at that plan and things that we're capable of doing, we do. And I know when we went to Olympia, a few of us went down to Olympia and toured around, and we saw, an outdoor farmer's market downtown, or, you know, so looking at certain things like that, if it's feasible, and those are projects, and they're one time, but you have to plan and plot and sometimes just stock away money for a few years with the intention that that's a project you're going to plan. So I think this year, if things go the way we want and sales tax revenue looks like it's increasing and businesses are opening and developments are being developed, that we plan, taking some of that money from sales tax revenue and streaming it into maintenance of roads and transportation, depending on what happens this August, and then also looking at possible capital projects around downtown and things that we want to start saving money for that can really help the economics of our community and how it looks and all of that. So those would be a priority, kind of looking into the future. Thank you.
Councilmember Hanford and then Councilmember Gamble.
Yes, thank you. I agree with everything that Councilmember Gary and Cutterbeck have said. I too would be really open to budget amendments throughout the year rather than planning at the beginning. As far as the downtown area, remembering that we want to do some kind of public restrooms and just keeping that, at the forefront of our minds as we're planning. Also, not sure if this has been done, but since we're talking about budget, I know that there was the email about the conferences in Spokane with the training that was for council members, and not sure what it would look like for us to attend that, whether it's all of us or a group of us, and obviously that would be cost that would need to be budgeted for, things like that. So if I can make it work with my personal schedule, I'm all for training, and I would love to be able to do something like that, but something to consider.
Okay.
Thank you.
Councilmember Gamble.
Yeah, I agree on priority-wise, addressing the structural deficit when it comes to roads, figuring that out. So, plan B, absolutely, if we don't get something passed. And even with that, I think the thing that we also need to point out is even with that passed, we still have a deficit there. So we're going to have something in place whether we get that passed or not, based on what we're saying that we need to have just to maintain. So I would really like to see something there. I agree with Councilmember Gearing to a point. I would personally want to be conservative, but I wouldn't want to ignore. There's a lot of data that we have based off projections, and we know buying trends and habits and what happens when the size of a store of that size goes in here. There's a lot of demographic information. I wouldn't want us to completely ignore that data and not consider that. I think we're all open to budget amendments. Budget amendments work both ways. So, we can go ultra, ultra conservative and then we're playing catch up, or you can go conservative with that there. And if we need to cut back, we can cut back. So I would want to entertain maybe a happy medium where we are being conservative, but we're not ignoring the fact that we are expecting, a little more in sales tax revenue, that we are coming out of a recovery. I think that's something that we should consider. That's being fiscally responsible, but also recognizing the turnaround and that kind of builds on itself. That's just my opinion. Downtown area, I could not agree more, and kind of looking at to some of those, those items that we've talked about for a long time, whether it's a gathering space, which could be a gathering space, could be determining, a spot where we're downtown, if it's the parade where we have events, when we close a street, or we're going to have a farmer's market, kind of designating that spot, even if it's where it's going to end up, and we want to do a big thing eventually down the road, a capital investment, maybe getting to that point where we can designate that spot where when we do get the money, but we can start having events there as we move forward. So that's it.
Thank you. Anybody who's not spoken yet want to add? Okay, Councilmember Gearing.
Thanks. And downtown thing, absolutely on board with. And one of the things I said earlier,
this year with regard to economic development is instead of us just putting public money towards that, we really need to be pursuing private investment for stuff downtown as well. People who want to partner with us, I don't care if it's the, I've said EB5, if there's a, if there's an opportunity for that, then that's just that's an influx of cash in an area like downtown where we could use for redevelopment, which is less money out of our pocket, but we get all the benefits of it because, we have a bunch of money that's being invested downtown. I certainly want to look at opportunities to get private investment for those things that we want to do downtown rather than absolutely, and we got to put some money away for it, and Councilman Kovacs is absolutely right. If we never put them in, do anything with it, we're never, it's just going to be an idea forever and never happen. I think that's a perfect example we talked about in the past of public-private partnerships. We need an influx of private cash as well with ours to get some of that stuff done. So I want to make sure that and what that looks like exactly, or how we as a city pursue that. We don't have that as a as a staff role now, but in the way that you had some ideas on how that would work now for economic development, having someone who whether we're pursuing that, whether we're doing it through the chamber or in some way, hey, we're looking for private investment here in town. Here's what we're going to do. Here's an opportunity for you to come in and invest in this. Here's what we want to do. Get on board with the vision. Those kinds of things. If we can attract private money, it's going to help us get those things done. So how we do that, we need to talk about that. But I wouldn't want that to get to implement these kind of things that we're talking about. I think that's going to get us there quicker. It's going to help us get more stuff done. And it's not going to be all our money doing it. And I think that's a great way to I'd like to see more of that myself. But absolutely agree. I want, bathrooms, the public space, the farmer's market, those kinds of things. We're hearing seeing all the emails and the websites and farmer's market here. And it's fun. It's a great time of year. And having that here in our town would be great. But anyway, just some thoughts on that. Not to say not to ignore that we are on a little bit of an upswing. I just am hesitant to woohoo. That's where the conservative nature of let's just not hire a bunch of stuff. But we certainly can't ignore the needs. We have to budget for road maintenance. There's no question about it. So I think that's going to have us in a tougher spot decision-wise than I think that we might actually realize. Hopefully the numbers are in Walmart and all my fears are don't come to pass. Hopefully we knock it out of the park with sales tax. So thank you.
We have Councilmember Gamble and then Councilmember Cutterback. Councilmember Gamble.
The one thing I did forget though was I am interested in the survey that we sent out to the public in regards to the parks and kind of getting the state of the state where we're there, what the long-term plan is from, it's all a buzz amongst, the groups that I interact with and, hey, when are we going to hear back? When are we going to hear back? And I would be very interested in seeing what the long-range plan is there and how that integrates into, overall, the financial plan, whether it's 2015 or beyond, when we're looking at a road thing today going out to 2020, I'm envisioning more that on the park side of things. So, yeah, you can interrupt. Go ahead.
Can I answer a little bit of that?
Yes.
On that note specifically, I saw at the studio shop last week that they do have a compilation of that park survey, like as far as the results.
Mm-hmm.
And I know next week, a week from tomorrow, is the joint meeting. But I'll talk with consultants and Paul and see if they can just get that on the Envision early. If it's not already, I haven't checked myself.
Okay, great.
Mike, the request has been made before a couple weeks ago as well. I don't know if it was in a meeting or if I was just meeting with somebody independently, but if it's something that could be put on, just emailed to council, in addition to being put on Envision, I think that would be appreciated.
Yeah.
Thank you. Okay, anything else, Councilmember Gamble? Okay, Councilmember Cuddeback.
Thank you. So this is just about process, and the staff might groan here, but I really would like it this year if, and I don't know if council agrees, but to have each staff department head present their individual budgets. We've moved away from that the last, I don't know if it's been the last 3 or 4 years, and I see a grimace on Councilmember
Gearing's
face, but But I do like to hear directly from the directors. I think we lose a little bit when we just do a big overview of the funds in each department. So I don't know if that's something other council members are interested in, or if you've sat on council when they did have the individual department heads. I found it very informative. And then there were some projects that might be very important to the department head that might not necessarily be important or make it to the whole, but it's nice to hear from them directly, because we can sit up here and have suggestions about projects and budgets, but staff are really the experts to their day-to-day work in it, and it would be nice to hear from them some of their projects that they might want to be funded in the budget that might not get funded, but once we hear from it, we might make it a priority. So I don't know if that's part of this discussion or...
That is part of this discussion. It okay. is my intent to ask that the departments give presentations to council
okay.
and also be available to respond to the question, what did you ask for that the mayor did not put in the budget? So that will be... that is part of the schedule that we will have so that you can ask those questions.
Okay, great. Thanks.
Okay. Any other items, Councilmember Cuddeback?
Nope, that's it. Thank you.
Okay. Councilmember Rasmussen, Camp, and Davis, anything?
Without being redundant.
Nothing. Okay. Exactly. You can always, you know, this isn't a one-time only, so you'll have an opportunity to share
it. Hit your light if you got something.
Oh, okay, then I have to repeat something I heard.
Oh, President.
If I could be recognized.
Okay, Councilmember Camp.
Thank you. Repeated, and this goes along with Councilmember Gehring. Don't spend it before you have it. I heard this repeatedly from my financial expert for the city, and I would like to...
Agreed.
Reinforce that and the conservative direction. There are things we do have to spend money on, and I agree. But we don't know what the future is really going to hold yet. We're going through a lot of changes towards the end of this year, so I would really like to have some better numbers. Thank you.
Okay. All right. Any other comments?
Can I just make one more?
Yes, Councilmember Gehring.
Thank you. If we're going to do workshops, I know regular council time. I think, like, way in the past, like, we would take a Saturday or something. I'd prefer that we keep it on Tuesday nights. I didn't know if that was going to be a proposal or whatnot. We've already got Tuesday nights booked. And having an extra day, let's just make use of the extra Tuesdays we have. How much time you had planned on going over this in the months ahead. But it'd be my preference to keep stuff on Tuesday night and not have... If we're going to have a retreat, let's have it be on a Tuesday night retreat versus, you know, somewhere else, on an additional night. This is my personal preference. I didn't know if you'd already, what your plans with regard to that were, so I'm stating a preference.
Does the balance of council have a preference? This is, again, very, very preliminary at this point. Do you have a preference that when the departments present, if it occurs on a Tuesday night or on a weekend?
Tuesday night.
Yeah, I was going to say, just for staff and for the public who are used to Tuesday night, I mean, it could be multiple Tuesday nights. That would probably be preference than staff coming in all day on a Saturday.
My preference is to have about 10-minute presentations from each, just like I intend for presentations to be 10-15 minutes, so that they can go over the important, you know, the more critical items. They go 30 minutes, and sometimes we lose track of things. So it would be my intent to try to find a meeting where we can have each department present for approximately 10 minutes. And then have an opportunity for Q&A, and that would be my intent at this time. But sometimes there are people that like to do weekends, and that's why I ask. Council member, I don't know who was first. I saw Gamble reach forward, so Camp, you must have been first. Council member Camp.
Thank you. I agree. But I would prefer rather than having marathon sessions, having it spread out over multiple Tuesdays, so we have ample time to... discuss with the directors, and we're not under a timeline or a time limit to be completed by 11 o'clock or whatever time.
Understood.
Thank you.
Okay. Councilmember Gamble.
I just want to clarify a statement, you know, that I've made in budgeting, because you know the statement of you don't spend what you don't have type of deal.
Mm-hmm.
What I'm referencing is that I would be for, if we're being conservative, but budgeting for second quarter, third quarter, for a council that likes to not let things stall and wait, I'd be much more for budgeting for second and third quarter based off our anticipated revenues in first quarter. And then if we don't achieve those revenue or sales tax revenues in the first quarter, then we would do a budget amendment that may change our second quarter or third quarter action, as opposed to not budgeting them at all, those actions, and then we get revenues that we weren't anticipating in the first quarter, and then we got to bring a budget initiative forward, we got to vote on it, we got to get it on the schedule, and it just delays. So that's what I mean by that. But
will you yield for a question?
Sure, go ahead.
So would a you're saying that a budget amendment would be more difficult?
What I'm saying is that this council has prided itself on not slowing progress down, you know, speed to, and that's all I'm saying is that we would take into, you know, consideration that, hey, we're anticipating these results, as opposed to saying it's not going to do anything, and then we'll adjust based after the event happens. Does that make sense, or you're not following?
I am.
I got half people saying yes, half people saying no.
Well, I hear what you're saying.
Yeah.
Two ways to get the same thing, but I hear what you're saying. Put it on there. I'm sorry, you were asking a question. I was speaking out.
No, I think you're going to ask. Yeah. You're asking the same question.
Put it on there, and if we're not going to do it, scratch it off.
Correct.
As opposed to
not have it on there, and then you delay it a month or two, because now you're doing it. You know,
and I think it depends on what it is.
Yeah, correct.
Exactly.
But I'm just, you know, it would. To do it where we don't put it in there and then we do an amendment after, in my opinion, flies in the face of what we've always done over the last, or at least, you know, we've all strived to do over the last 2-3 years. So that's just my opinion. We're essentially saying the same thing, but one way is going about it with we're gonna plan on doing it, and then if results change, then we'll back up. But we're both saying don't spend what you don't have. It's just a different way on planning. That's all.
Maybe I don't need to chime in.
Any other comments?
I was about to chime in, but.
Okay, seeing none, we'll go ahead and move on to the next item. Next item is Councilmember reports, and we'll go ahead and start with Councilmember Gearing.
Thank you. I am a undergraduate degree of Seattle Pacific University. Very unfortunate and tragic events unfolded there this week with the shooting and a building that I spent a lot of time in, right in front, and just a real tragedy. The unnecessary loss of life. Fortunately, we had some very good training at SPU for people, and I think the loss of life was averted or was lessened because of some really good training and some split-second decisions that worked out really well. My sister actually used to work at the same spot where John Meese, the guy who stopped the shooter, she used to serve at that same desk when she was in school there. So it's just weird seeing places that you went to school and walked in and have been in. A personal friend was actually across the street, actually saw the initial shots take place, and then ran inside the gymnasium. It just what a senseless tragedy. I heard that there was another one today in Oregon. It just seems like there's a lot. A lot of that going on. It's just frustrating and so painful here. I know there's a lot of people in Monroe who attended SPU. I know just all of them that are going on, that have been going on. People, you know, we're all connected in some way, shape, or form to someone who has experienced that, or someone who's going through some significant pain. I really had a hard time, trying to not watch TV. I find myself glued to these things, you know, and just such a tragedy. I know there's people in the Monroe area who are hurting as well. We have students from Monroe who are attending SPU who are there, families who are alumni like myself and my wife. Just a difficult time. Certainly have been praying and lifting those people up. And there's certainly opportunities to help should someone feel. Led to there's some significant medical bills for people, and then there's families hurting with, you know, a kid walked into a building on a normal day and you know, and then he was dead. So it's I'm kind of rambling, but it's a frustrating thing, and I
hate to see the politicization of it, as well. I can't even say the word, but yeah, just be thinking about those people. There are Monrovians who are hurting and upset because of that, and not just SPU. Like I said, there's the one that I heard about today down in Oregon. So just a lot of tragedy, and just things to be thinking about. That's a real bummer. On the bright side, we have things like there's the Monroe Touch of Shock thing, which Monroe Christian School, which is really cool. And then the fall sports started. I know my son is going to be he'll be a freshman at Monroe High School, and they had their first cross country practice today, and he was thrilled to be at high school. And so that was a lot of fun. It's fun to see looking for something positive after something negative. Certainly helped me, but it's fun to see the sports and the activity and all the things. It's just one of my favorite times in Monroe. We have so many great things going on here, and I find myself really looking for those positive things after something. After we hear things like negative, something that affects me. If you know someone from SPU, put some positive thoughts out towards them, whatever it is that you do. And I know I'd certainly appreciate it. And hopefully we hear the end of these news stories very soon. Thank you.
Thank you. Councilmember Gamble.
Well, end of the year, end of school, a lot of activities going on within our school, our schools. Hour of the Honorables was tonight, was not able to make the Finance HR Committee meeting. I let them know that a while ago. It's just a great time of the year from a community perspective, in our school systems, and then also within our Parks Department. It's tournament season for baseball all around the Monroe area. Spent, I think, almost every night at the ballpark. And this weekend, the Legends Baseball Club, based out of Monroe here, is having their 8U to 10U baseball tournament for Father's Day weekend. So 7:00 in the morning wake-up call at the parks. But should be a great weekend of baseball. And then I believe the following weekend is the 11U to 15U, the older boys, they have their tournament. So back-to-back weekends for our local baseball club at the parks, wrapping that all up. But it's just been, in light, absolutely prayers with the SPU folks, and then also in Oregon today, several folks that work in my organization from that area. So prayers with them as well. But as far as the city of Monroe and it's that time of year, I mean, our parks are beginning to shine, and there's just a lot of stuff to do. But that also means slow down, because the kids are going to be on out in the streets very soon. So anyway, that's it. That's all I got.
Thank you. Councilmember Davis.
Well, I don't have anything, but I was just looking at this, and whoever is responsible for that, thank you very much. I think it's a neat idea.
We are ambassadors for our community, and occasionally you will go out, and that'll help so that when people are handing out name tags and everything, it'll help reinforce the brand and help people identify you. So I would encourage you to wear those when you go to meetings as a council member. So you're welcome. On that note, before we move on to Councilmember Camp, we also, on your own dime, are going to be sending around a form where you can select clothing that will put the emblem on for you. So there are some cities and some jurisdictions that when you go to events like the Touch a Truck this weekend, or go to something like an opening of or ribbon cutting of something, that they'll wear sort of what appears to be a uniform. So we've staff has picked out like a polo shirt and a rain jacket and things like that. Again, on your own dime, we'll get that material out to you in the near future so that you can select that. But it won't have your name on it. That's what the name badge is for. Anyway, thank you. Anything else, Councilmember?
No, that's all.
Councilmember Camp.
Thank you. First, I'd like to echo Councilmember Gehring's comments. I spent some time at SPU working my certificate program, again, in those buildings, and it was an enormous shock. So my prayers go out to all. First, I'd like to thank the mayor for stepping up on May 20th when I was called away and handling the student rep honor. I talked to Karen afterwards, and she really appreciated her time here and learned a lot. And it's always encouraging. She's the second second of two student reps who has a new appreciation of the political scene and is considering running in the future. I help him alive to work on some of those campaigns. I spoke to Principal Lombardi, and I'm going to get the name wrong if I don't put my glasses on, and Ms. Johnson, the activities coordinator for the high school. And if you have not received new applications for next year's student reps, you should be expecting them soon. It sounds like a good crowd. Lastly, I was honored to be able to guard the race car at the Touch-A-Truck last weekend. It was a great time. I guess they doubled the attendance to 1,200. So it was a very successful event. I want to thank the police department, the fire department, and the parks department for donating vehicles or providing vehicles that the kids could climb on and do whatever magic they did with them. I did talk to one city employee, and we both regretted the fact that they did not leave the keys to the tractor. It would have been a lot of fun, but it probably wouldn't have been a good idea. That's all I've got. Thank you.
Thank you, Councilmember. Councilmember Rasmussen.
Thank you. Last month, end of May, had the privilege to not only attend but also participate in the groundbreaking ceremony for our Monroe Family Village. Paul and Melissa and members of his team were there, and it was a great ceremony. Lots of people there, very excited, and they did ask me to speak, and part of the comments, of course, I had to really applaud our city staff, Paul and your team, for the work over the years that they did with Housing Hope and working alongside with the organization to bring the Monroe Family Village there. But the thing that really struck me as I was putting together my materials to speak about was that this is the largest development that Housing Hope has done in their 26-year history. And not only that, but they chose Monroe to do it. And as a council member, that's, to me, that's pretty special. And I don't think that that would have been nearly possible without the help and the support of staff and members of this community. So, I made sure to thank for that, because that when I learned that was just amazing. It was pretty special to hear. So, and if you've not seen where it's going, it's on Main Street. There was a house there. It's now pile of rubble. I get to run by it and see the progress on my runs in the morning, and it's going to move very quickly. So, but that's it.
Thank you. Councilmember Cuddeback.
Our transportation committee met yesterday, and we covered a couple items. One of them was disabled parking spaces on the public right-of-way, and it was a recommendation of staff and of the committee not to change our current policy, so we talked about that. Our overweight vehicle permits, which I mentioned last month, we now have scheduled a public hearing for that. That's July 8th. And then we spent a majority of our time talking about the transitional low-income housing benefits and looking at our current policy. And that'll be an ongoing process because we felt we needed a little bit more information, maybe some from the city attorney and from what other communities are doing. So Paul's going to bring that back to our meeting in July, and we're going to discuss that more at length before it's brought to council. It will be brought to council at one point, I think. So I think that's it on transportation. And then lastly, happy Father's Day to all you fathers out there this Sunday. So right, it's Sunday, right?
Yep.
Okay. My son brought home his Father's Day gift from school and showed it to me. But happy Father's Day.
You
guys forgot about.
We only worry about Mother's Day.
I don't think, but say it to me, so I'll say it to you. So happy early Father's Day.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you. Councilmember
Hanford. Yes, definitely it was an emotional time. Prayers for all the SBU family and Monrovians that are part of that. Yesterday was a joyous day for us. We were in Snohomish County Court, and we were able to finally adopt Courtney Jane Hanford, the 11-year-old that we've been fostering for the last 10 months. So that was very very good highlight for the week to kick off the week. And so glad to have that behind us. And there's not much more you can say after that.
Congratulations.
Thanks.
We're going to move now to staff. And so we'll go ahead and start off with Chief Quinzer.
I have several things to actually, the first thing is a little over a month ago, I talked to you about a resident in town that we were quite concerned about as far as a nuisance issue. And I'm happy to report that they have it almost cleared up to our satisfaction, which is far better than what we expected, and we're very thankful for doing that. So I appreciate the council's support in going forward on that. Another thing today, we picked up motorcycles, and Officer Steaming and Officer Patton were selected to be the officers that will have the motorcycles assigned to them. They start their training at the State Patrol Academy, I believe it's July 21st, and that will be 2 weeks of training there, and we have, how should I put this, Mayor, you got a good deal from the State Patrol Academy as far as the cost for training them. And on June 18th, next week, we will have one of our new officers graduating from the academy, Officer Leather, will be graduating on the 18th.
Thank you. Ben.
You came to notice there's some construction going on outside Gene's office that is related to the court for next year. Building offices there. So we are in the process of hiring a court administrator. Two more positions we hired. Stop off by Gene's office, you'll see all the construction. Michael and Waller are doing a good job getting everything framed up, looking great. That's it.
Thank you, Ben. Mike.
Thank you. Well, as you know, lots of events going on, and it was mentioned a week from this coming Saturday, so on the 21st, the Tri-Monroe Parks crews, utilities, Polk Streets crews have been busy on Browns Boulevard, getting it ready for that, and the public, and also around the lake. A lot of work's been done, a lot of landscape maintenance, that sort of thing. And actually today we got a crew from the prison working on blackberries and scotchbroom that are invasive from us over the past few years. So the lake looks really great. The road's looking great too, and so we're getting ready for that. I did look up, and visionmonroe.org is the park survey, and it is up. And I will email to you all a copy of that park survey results, so then you'll have that. And then speaking of emails, I emailed to all of you late this afternoon, and so I just wanted to also draw your attention to that. That if you recall a couple of months ago, Tom Tigan, director of Snohomish County Parks, and Hal Gosman, from the fairgrounds manager, I gave you a presentation on the fact that they're master planning the fairgrounds. And so they had information, I've given it to you as attachments. There's a really lengthy, it's the draft market financial report, and there's also a draft probable costs and phasing summary, and a color plan, which I also put up there for you, just one sheet of ultimately what all of the proposed improvements would look like. And this morning at the Snohomish County Council's operations meeting, I attended that. There was a presentation by the consultant that they have for this to the council. And I have requested a copy of the PowerPoint presentation, so I'll pass that on to you all as well, as it's good information to have. And prior to the meeting today, the mayor asked me to inquire of Mr. Gosman, which I did, on a couple of items that are important to, you know, us here and our residents especially, is, you know, one, the noise, hearing feedback from neighborhoods that the noise from the speedway, like how could that be addressed? You know, can that be addressed in the plan, the master plan? And number two is interest in developing that pedestrian walkway on the north side of 2 and the south side of the fairgrounds. And then I got answers back at the shared with you from Mr. Gosman on that. And in addition, at the meeting this morning, then he also made a point to raise those issues for Monroe to the county council members at the meeting. So that's my report.
The reason for the two questions, there, as all of you know, when you go up into, and some of you live it, that area can be really noisy on Rainier as well as in the Trumbly subdivision. So I felt that it was important for us to ask that question. And then we've had comments from the public at a couple of our workshops about the need for a pedestrian connection from, I think it's Cascade Loop to 179th. I myself have seen people not only walking on the north side shoulder and cycling, but I've also seen people who probably come from the area of the hospital in wheelchairs and in mobility devices. Yeah, the I don't want to call them scooters, but they're motor-driven sort of wheelchairs, if you will. So those are the reasons for those two questions. I am prepared to send a letter just reinforcing the importance of addressing those two items in a letter, sending that to the council at Snohomish County and the executive as well. Does council have any concerns or any additions for that sort of correspondence? Yes, Councilmember Hearing.
Thank you. Yeah, I think it's great. I do have a question on what you were just talking about. Is the north side of Highway 2 along the south side,
yes,
from here to, is that in the city of Monroe or is that Snohomish County property?
So I'm going to hand that over to Brad because even though I think I know the answer,
I thought it was Snohomish County properties.
No, it is
city of Monroe.
It's state right of way that's within the city limits.
Okay.
That is some agreement between WashDOT and the county for the county to use it.
Okay. So, but wow.
So right of way line is
simple.
These are the perhaps.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Because I'm thinking. So I was thinking sidewalk. I was assuming that it wasn't in the city of Monroe, but it is in the city of Monroe, even though there's the other three-part agreement that you mentioned. So we actually would have. We actually could put a sidewalk in there, or we couldn't put a sidewalk in there. We would have to. Would that agreement have to change that WashDOT has with the county?
We could fill the ditch and put it in there, because that's not in that agreement. But otherwise, anything north of that, that's an agreement between the county and WashDOT.
Yeah, just the sidewalk idea. I think is great. So, yes, to that kind of communication, absolutely. But yeah, I think a sidewalk along there, that section would be great. But you know, if we can, okay, we can't do it ourselves without. We would need to work with it. So sure. All right. Thank you.
I'd like to highlight one more thing in the email response that Mike copied and pasted. If you take a look in the email response right here, bullet number one, when you see at the beginning of the line, it says Friday night from 9 until 10.
Yeah.
I'll go ahead and read that. It says, I want you to be aware that we've received a note from the Speedway requesting to amend their contract and extend hours of operation on Friday nights from 9 until 10. And so if that's something that concerns council, I can add that to the letter. It's but that's an extra hour for the races. So I don't see any concerns right now.
Nope.
Okay. Not for me. Councilmember Camp?
Thank you. Are they going until 10 o'clock on Saturdays now?
Yes. I don't know if they're going until 9 or 10 on
so
Saturdays.
So it's 10 o'clock on Saturday. This is just extended to the
for
same
sure,
time.
Yeah. The fireworks usually 9:30. The fireworks, I'm thinking each night is 9:30.
Yeah, I think they target the 9:30 for fireworks. So they can
right,
be
so
done
they have
10.
Everything completed by 10 o'clock. Okay, thank you.
All right, so I don't see any concerns about adding that into the letter.
Okay.
All right. So that's all with Mike, and I don't see any more lights, so.
If you have a new project updates in your packet this week, and let's see, we're still have lots of active projects. Very busy. Nick Holland, our new associate planner, has been with us for about a month, working on really well. We're catching up on a lot of projects with Nick on board. On the 2015 update, we did have our storefront studio last week, went Sunday through Friday. We had a total of four public events, and of course during the day, all day long. The attendance was pretty light, but we got a lot of good input from the people that did come and engage in conversation and gave some workshops. We got some pretty good results, and I just reminded about next Wednesday night, the joint meeting with Commission, Park Board, and Citizens Advisory Committee to present the results of really what has come out of the last month and specifically the last week on the plan. So a little more some good feedback there. East Monroe, quick word, there are two petitioners have submitted briefs to the Growth Management Hearing Board. We have received those. The city's brief is due by the end of the month. And there will be, there's a hearing scheduled for July 17th, with a most likely decision sometime in August. So quite a bit of attention on that for the next few weeks. And let's see what else. About it for now. Just lots of work going on, and we're doing more.
Any questions for Paul? Okay, seeing none. Brad. I switched it up.
Once again, our projects, our updates are in your council packet. If you haven't driven down Chandler Road recently, we finished with Walmart blocking the road just in time to rip it all up for the runabout. So that's going on there. And also down by the post office, we're finishing up putting the water line in so they can finish that project so we can rip it up again with not the pavement they're putting down. And then Hill Street also to do the stormwater improvements on that one, which will be starting on the 16th.
Excuse me.
So. Okay. That's all I have.
Any questions for Brett? Okay, seeing none. Dan.
We got our business licenses through the state master license program system, and it works real well for us, and they have a heavier hammer for compliance than we would in. They, in starting July, they will allow businesses to pay for their licenses with e-check as well as credit card. In the past, they absorbed the credit card fee and would charge all the local jurisdictions, and we would end up paying the credit card fees. Starting July, since they have the e-check option, which is free, they will start passing the credit card fee on to the businesses. If the business chooses to pay with a credit card, they will also pay the credit card fee, or they can pay with an e-check, which would be free. So that'll save the city $550 a year. So that'll be nice. I sent you all an email about Wakes Republic Services, their rate increase effective September 1st is 1.27%. For 2014, we can totally absorb that with the utility fund balance. And in the budget process, we'll review to see if we can continue to absorb it in 2015.
And you had one more update on the Monroe Family Village fees?
Yeah, there's a staff report in your packet. It's looking like $58,000 is the amount we will have to pay, but that may change. We've received, Brad has stumbled on some RCW, so we need to look through it and get back to it and circle back and talk to you.
All right. Any questions for Diane? Okay. Gene.
Mayor. I just want to congratulate and thank you to Public Works. I don't know if you noticed in their update that they talked about the Sky Manor Water District and pressure updates. And I can honestly tell you that since I've been working here, there's been pressure problems in that system. And within a couple of months of Monroe taking it over, Brad's staff went out there and installed a pressure-reducing valve, upgraded those pressures first time in, you know, nearly 30 years. Awesome job. That is a huge accomplishment to make happen in just a few months. And all those people that have suffered all these years and on the verge of water quality issues, all those things, his team swooped in and dealt with it. So big accolades to that group. I really appreciate it. It's been long since coming, and I know the health district really appreciates that. We've had many discussions with them about that. So that was a huge thing. And that was it.
Okay. Great. Let's go ahead and take a look at next week's agenda and the extended agenda. Not yet.
Tuesday, June 17th, 2014. We'll have Representative Dan Christensen here to do a pre-presentation. And then we have a proclamation for Amateur Radio Week. Consent agenda, and under new business, we have a resolution amending cost allocation plan for interfund fees, introduction of permanent sign code regulations, which went to the Planning Commission on Monday. And authorize Mayor Pro Tem to sign interlocal cooperation agreement renewal with Snohomish County for urban county requalification. And then we have the draft agenda for June 24th, 2014. And I would like to note that we moved consent agenda number 4 to the 24th.
Okay. All right, on the extended agenda, Councilmember Gehring.
Thank you. I wasn't aware, and maybe I had dismissed it, of the fact that there was going to be a meeting, a joint meeting next Wednesday. I saw an email blast come out through one of the Monroe websites things. Is there a reason why we couldn't do that on a Tuesday night, like at a council meeting, have everybody come on the 24th, and rather than have an extra night of the week? That would still give us time to do it. It'd be my preference to do it on a night that's already scheduled versus another night out. That's just my personal preference. Definitely want to do it. Definitely want to have everybody here. But I guess, was there a thought on doing it here instead of at Park Place? You know, if we don't have to, are we renting that? If we don't have to spend money renting it, you know, let's do it here. But, you know, one less night out. If it's too late and it's going to be on the 18th, that's great. We have Tuesday nights, so, you know, let's use them. But, you know, anyway, just any thoughts on that, I guess.
We did talk about a regular council meeting versus a special meeting dedicated to the comp plan update. It involves the Planning Commission, the Park Board, and the Citizens Advisory Committee. It could be upwards of 30 people on the dais, so to speak, around the tables. We thought it might be better to hold it at the off-site on a special night. There is no cost involved with the school. We always get free use of their space. We're really good about that. There's quite a bit of material to cover, and we thought it might be best to have all the groups, including council, focused on what has happened recently. This is a big step for us. What we're going to be looking for is that we're sharing the information of where we're at now, after these last 4 or 5 months, and being to set a basic idea for the to start the hands-on preparation of the plan and EIS. And we're looking for some basic buy-in to where we're at this point. We thought it might be best to be able to just focus with that whole group in a kind of equal setting for them.
And very good. This is not conducive to what you're trying to do, then. And that's great too. We just haven't had some meetings on Tuesdays, and I just figure, hey, but keep it on Tuesday if we can. But yeah,
there was an email sent out last week to the council members about the agenda.
I might have
a little bit of a notice.
Missed it. Yeah, and I appreciate that. Great. Yeah, thank you. All right,
Councilmember Hanford.
Yeah, just for the record, I'll be out of town, leaving the 18th, so I'll be gone for the meeting the 24th, and most likely I will not be at the 17th meeting either. There's a very slight chance if all the ducks are lined up and everything looks great, but I'll be gone those next 2 weeks.
Okay.
While we're talking about extended agenda, I want to point out that at this point in time, staff is leaving July 1st open. Is there, are people going to be generally on vacation that week? It ends with July 4th. Councilmember Gamble?
I will be on vacation the first 2 weeks of July, so yeah, I'm unavailable the first and actually will not be in town on July 8th either.
Okay, Councilmember Camp?
Thank you. I was just going to say, if we're going to cancel two meetings, July 1st and August 5th, we'll have to reschedule the finance meeting to the following Tuesday.
The
12th? The 8th?
You're talking about July 1st
to July 8th. Sorry.
Yeah, so it'll be July 8th and August and 12th.
Okay. Councilmember Davis?
I will be around for the beginning of June, so that's not a problem with me, but I will not be at the June 17th meeting. I will be absent.
You'll be gone on June 17th?
Yes.
Okay. Okay.
So could I ask who is going to be here on the 17th, who's not going to be here on the 17th? It sounds like we're missing a few.
If you're not going to be here on the 17th of June, put your hands up, please. Okay, just... Okay,
it's my wedding anniversary, so okay, it's not a good idea for me to be here.
Okay, so we've got four council members present. Councilmember Gamble, were you going to be here on the 17th of June?
I'm helping coach an all-star team, I think. That's starts as well. So, but, yeah, I don't know because the schedule doesn't come out. You know.
Okay.
Maybe here on the 17th, but not being able to participate in the special meeting on the 18th because that's what...
Okay, so today's June 10th. June 17th is next week. Do we have a quorum next week?
I'll be here.
One, two, three.
As far as I know.
Three. And Councilmember Gamble, we don't know. Okay.
I can't really push that out because Representative Christensen
is going to be here. Yes,
I will be here.
Move it out.
Okay. So back to the original question then. Oh, Councilmember Hanford.
Yeah, I will be gone on the 1st as well.
1st of July.
To answer your question, yeah.
Okay. Council, you have the option to cancel meetings, of course. Is there, I missed noses. Do we have a quorum on July 1st right now?
I think we do, but it's 4, I believe.
Okay. All right. Well, we can cancel that if you all decide to do so at one of our upcoming meetings. But thank you for going through that exercise with us. Okay. I don't have anything else myself for the good of the order. Do you have anything else?
I do.
Okay. I will entertain a motion for adjournment.
So moved.
I have a motion from Councilmember Camp and a second from Councilmember Hanford. Any discussion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
All opposed? Motion passes 7-0. Thank you very much for your time this evening.
Where are you going to say?
No executive session.
Oh, yes, there was no